All right, so you want your injection molds to last longer, right?
Yeah.
Especially when things get HOT.
Yeah, high temperatures can really do a number on them.
And I've been looking through these materials, and it seems like we're going to uncover some pretty cool stuff today.
Oh yeah, there's a lot to unpack here.
Like, did you know there are these unexpected material combinations? Tricks you can use in the design to...
It's almost like giving a mold its own suit of armor.
I like that. A suit of armor for your mold. Okay, so first up, let's talk about picking the right materials.
Yeah, the research we've got really stresses how important that is, especially in those high temp situations.
Why is that? What's so different about choosing materials for a hot mold?
Well, think about it. High heat can weaken the mold, cause warping.
Oh, yeah, makes sense.
You could even have it completely fail right in the middle of production.
Not good.
Definitely not. So you've got to pick materials that can handle the heat.
So, like, what? What's the star player when it comes to materials for hot molds? I'm seeing a lot about H13 steel.
H13? Yeah, that's kind of the workhorse. It's tough, keeps its strength even when things get really toasty.
What makes H13 so special?
It's a specific type of steel called hot work die steel. They make it specifically for these situations where the temperatures get extreme.
Okay, so it's not just about the mold withstanding the heat. I'm also seeing stuff here about how well it gets rid of the heat.
That's right. That's all about thermal conductivity, how well the heat spreads through the material.
So some materials are better at that than others.
Exactly. Think of it like a frying pan.
Okay.
Some spread the heat nice and evenly. Others, you get those hot spots, things burn.
Ah, I see. So you want a mold material that's like a good frying pan.
Exactly. You want even heating, and that can help prevent damage to the mold.
So what are we looking at material-wise?
Things like copper alloys are great for that. They're like the champions of spreading heat.
But
But
it seems like it can't be that simple, right? If copper is so good at heat, why isn't every hot mold made out of it?
good point. Because it's not always about just one material being the best. Sometimes it's about combining their strengths.
Oh, I see. It's like you need a team of superheroes, each one with its own superpower.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. You might use copper in spots where cooling is critical, but then rely on that sturdy H13 steel for the main structure of the mold.
Okay, so we've got the materials figured out.
At least we've got a good start.
But let's move on to the mold design itself. It's not just what it's made of, but the shape of it all, right?
Absolutely. You could have the best material in the world, but if the design is bad, it's going to fail.
Yeah, the research really emphasizes that. Good design is essential for durability.
You need to make sure the stress is distributed properly and there aren't any weak points.
And one of the biggest things I'm seeing design-wise is cooling, like the mold's cooling
Oh,
system.
yeah, cooling is essential. It's like the mold's internal AC unit, keeps everything from overheating.
So how do you design a good cooling system for a mold?
It's all about strategically placing cooling channels throughout the mold. The more channels you have and the closer they are to those hot zones,
Makes sense.
the better the cooling.
You know, it's funny, there's this part in the research where they talk about using ice water to cool things down.
Ice water.
Yeah, they're really serious about this temperature control.
Wow. And you know, it's not just about keeping things cool, it's also about keeping the cooling consistent.
What do you mean?
If one part of the mold is cooling much faster than another part, it's bad news.
Ah,
It's
right.
like a cake that's burnt on one side and raw on the other. You want everything to cool down nicely and evenly.
Makes total
And
sense.
that even cooling helps prevent warping and other problems. So
Yeah.
design really matters.
And another thing they talk about is minimizing stress points.
Right. You want to avoid sharp corners in your design. Think of it like, well, a stress fracture. Sharp corners concentrate stress, make it more likely to crack under pressure.
So what do you do instead?
Smooth curves. They distribute these stress more evenly, which makes the mold much stronger.
And what about those exhaust systems I'm seeing in the research?
Oh, those are important. Those help to let out any trapped gas. Think about it.
Trapped gas.
Yeah, it's like a pressure cooker. If you've got gas trapped inside the mold, it can build up pressure and damage things.
Oh, so the exhaust system is like a safety valve.
Exactly. It lets that pressure escape and protects the mold. So yeah, design is critical.
Okay, so we've talked about materials, we've talked about the overall design. What's next in our quest for long-lasting molds?
Precision, my friend. Precision machining.
Ooh, that sounds fancy.
That's where the real artistry comes in. We're talking about microscopic levels of accuracy, making sure every part fits perfectly.
So not like rough carpentry then.
Nope.
This is serious stuff.
You need incredible tolerances to make a good mold. Even the tiniest imperfection can throw things off. It can affect how the mold performs and even cause it to fail prematurely. It's all about the details.
I'm seeing some interesting things in the research about how important the surface of the mold is, too.
Oh, absolutely. The quality of the surface finish can make a huge difference in how long the mold lasts.
Really? How so?
Think about friction.
Okay.
A rough surface creates a lot of friction, and friction is the enemy here. It leads to wear and tear.
So you want a super smooth surface.
Exactly. The smoother the surface, the less friction, and the longer the mold will last. It's like a well-oiled machine. Everything runs smoothly.
I bet that's where those high-tech machining techniques come in. I'm seeing stuff here about EDM.
EDM?
Yeah, electrical discharge machining. Apparently they use sparks to precisely erode the material.
That's right. EDM's amazing. It's perfect for hard-to-cut materials, and you can create super complex shapes without putting a lot of stress on the mold.
I see. And what about wire cutting? I'm seeing that too.
Yes. Wire cutting. Using a super thin wire to cut through metal with insane accuracy.
Wow. So it seems like they're using all these fancy techniques to make sure everything is absolutely perfect.
Exactly. You're trying to minimize any weak points, any imperfections that could cause the mold to break down under pressure, especially at those high temperatures. It's about getting every detail right.
Wow. So we've got the materials, the design, this incredibly precise machining. Is there anything else we're missing when it comes to making our molds last?
One last thing, but it's really important. Maintenance.
Maintenance.
Yeah, you can't just build a perfect mold and then forget about it.
That makes sense. Even a tough mold needs some love, right?
You got it.
Yeah.
Regular checkups, preventative measures, all that good stuff. We'll dive into that more after the break.
So we're back and ready to talk about keeping those molds in top shape. Maintenance.
And you know, it's interesting. A lot of people see maintenance as just fixing things when they break.
Yeah, like a last resort.
Right. But the research here really stresses this idea of proactive maintenance. It's almost like preventative healthcare, but for your molds.
I like that. Keeping them healthy from the start.
Exactly. It's all about understanding the whole process, not just the mold itself.
Okay, so what do you mean by that? The whole process?
Think about it. You've got the mold. You've got the material you're injecting, the pressure, the temperature.
Yeah.
Everything's got to work together in harmony.
It's like an ecosystem then.
Perfect analogy. And just like in nature, if one thing gets out of whack, it can have a ripple effect on everything else.
So if I'm an operator running these molds, what are some things I should be paying attention to? You know, to keep things running smoothly and not mess up the mold.
Well, one of the biggest culprits is injection pressure.
The pressure of the material going into the mold.
Yeah. You can have the strongest mold in the world, but if you're constantly pushing it beyond its limits, it's going to wear out faster.
Oh, that makes sense.
Like overinflating a tire. Eventually, it's going to blow.
So it's all about finding that balance.
Right. Enough pressure to fill the mold properly, but not so much that you're stressing it out.
Got it. And what about the speed of the injection? Does that matter too?
Absolutely. Think of it like pouring a thick liquid into a container.
Hmm.
If you do it too fast,
it splashes everywhere.
Exactly. Same thing with injection molding. Too fast, you get turbulent flow, air pockets get trapped, things don't cool evenly. It's a mess.
So slow and steady wins the race.
In this case, yeah. Nice. Even flow gives you a better part, and it's easier on the mold.
Okay. Speed, pressure. What about venting? I keep seeing that mentioned in the research.
Oh, yeah. Venting is super important. Remember we talked about trapped gas?
Like a pressure cooker.
Exactly. Well, the venting system is basically a pressure release valve.
So the gas can escape as the mold is filling up.
Right. Without proper venting, pressure builds up, and that can damage the mold. It can also mess up the parts you're making.
Makes sense.
It's all in the design. They put those vent channels in very specific places so the gas can escape without affecting the structure of the mold or the quality of the parts. It's really clever.
It's amazing how these little details can make such a big difference.
It's all about those small but crucial factors.
What about cooling time? Seems like that could be important too.
Cooling time is essential. If you rush the cooling process, you can end up with all sorts of problems. The part might warp. You might get inconsistencies in its dimensions. It can even damage the mold.
Like taking a cake out of the oven too early. It's going to fall apart and be a gooey mess.
Exactly. Patience is key here. Yeah. You got to let the part solidify and cool down properly before you eject it from the mold.
And the operator needs to know how long to wait.
Absolutely. A well-trained operator understands that and knows how to check that the part is ready.
So we've talked about pressure, speed, venting, cooling time. Is there anything else?
Oh yeah, we can't forget about the material itself, the stuff you're actually molding.
Wait, you mean it's not just about the material the mold is made of?
Nope. You got to think about how the material you're injecting is going to behave inside the mold. Different materials shrink at different rates. They have different thermal properties. Some might stick to the mold more easily.
It's like a compatibility thing.
Exactly. The material you're molding and the material a mold is made of, they need to play nice together.
This is a lot more complex than I realize.
Oh, injection molding is a very intricate process, but that's what makes it so fascinating. It's like a puzzle, figuring out all the factors that affect the quality of the parts and the life of the mold.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of those
We've
factors.
got a good understanding now of the molding process itself.
But there's still more to discuss, right?
One more crucial piece of the puzzle,
Hmm.
the actual hands-on care and maintenance of those molds. How to keep them running strong for years to come. We'll tackle that next time.
Okay, so we've covered materials, design, even that incredible precision machining. But now it's time for the nitty-gritty, mold maintenance.
And this is where it gets really interesting, you know, because a lot of folks, they think of maintenance as like an afterthought.
Yeah, like, oh, something broke, gotta fix it.
Exactly. But the research, it really paints a different picture. It's
Or.
all about being proactive. Preventative maintenance, they call it.
So it's less about fixing problems and more about what, stopping them before they even start.
Exactly. Think of it like going to the doctor for checkups, right? You catch things early, they're much easier to deal with.
Makes sense. So, where do we start with this mold checkup?
Well, one of the big things is dimensional accuracy. Making sure the mold is still the exact right shape, even after being exposed to those high temperatures.
Because things expand and contract with heat, right? So the mold could warp over time.
Precisely. And even the smallest change in dimension can affect the quality of the parts you're making.
So, how do you even check for that? I mean, we're talking about really tiny measurements
Oh,
here.
yeah, they've got these specialized tools for that. Super precise, can measure things down to the microscopic level.
Wow. So you can catch those tiny shifts before they become big problems.
That's the idea. And another thing to keep an eye on, the cooling system.
Right. We talked about how important cooling is.
Well, maintaining those cooling channels, that's just as crucial.
What do you mean?
Those channels can get clogged up over time, you know, mineral buildup from the water, all that.
Ah, so it's like the arteries of the mold getting blocked.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And if the water can't flow freely, the cooling isn't as effective. You get hot spots, uneven cooling.
And that can damage the mold, right?
Exactly.
Yep.
So regular cleaning, flushing out those channels, that's really important.
And I'm seeing and hear about those ejector pins too. They need attention.
Oh yeah, those little guys work hard. They're the ones pushing the finished part out of the mold.
Right.
And with all that high heat and pressure, they can wear down pretty quickly.
So what should I be looking for if I'm inspecting those pins?
Any signs of wear and tear, really? Scratches, dents, if they're bending,
Oh, I see.
make sure they're moving smoothly, lubricate them regularly.
Okay. So dimensions, cooling, ejector pins. Anything else on our mold maintenance checklist?
Don't forget about the overall condition of the mold surfaces.
The surfaces. You mean like looking for cracks or anything?
Exactly. Any little imperfection, a scratch, a bit of corrosion.
That could turn into a big problem later.
You got it. It's like that saying, a stitch in time saves nine. Catch those small issues early, and you prevent them from becoming major headaches.
So just looking at the mold carefully, that's good enough.
A visual check is a good start. But they also have some pretty fancy techniques to find hidden flaws, like dye penetrant testing or magnetic particle inspection.
Sounds high tech.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty cool stuff, like having X-ray vision for your mold.
So we've talked about inspecting things, cleaning, lubrication. Is there anything more proactive we can do, like to prevent these issues from even happening in the first place?
There is, and that's the beauty of preventative maintenance.
Give me an example.
Well, one big one is replacing parts before they actually fail.
Oh, I see.
Like things like seals, springs, those ejector pins we talked about.
Hmm.
They have a limited lifespan, especially in those tough conditions. So instead of waiting for them to break, you swap them out on a schedule.
Like changing the oil in your car.
Exactly. And another proactive thing is using surface treatments.
Surface treatments.
Yeah, like hard chrome plating or nitriding. It basically adds a super durable layer to the mold surface.
So it's tougher, more resistant to wear and tear.
You got it. It's like giving your mold a suit of armor. Remember we talked about that.
We did, full circle. So by investing some time and effort into maintenance, we're not just extending the life of our molds, we're actually making them better.
Absolutely. A well-maintained mold will produce higher quality parts, it'll mean fewer repairs, and ultimately it'll save you a lot of time and money.
Well, I'd say that wraps up our deep dive into injection mold durability.
I think we covered a lot of ground today.
We explored the materials, dug into the design, even got a glimpse into the high-tech world of precision machining.
And we can't forget the crucial role of maintenance.
Right, that's key. And even though we focused on those high-temperature applications.
The principles we discussed, they apply to any injection molding process.
Exactly. No matter what you're molding, taking care of your molds is a smart move. It's all about keeping things running smoothly, getting those high-quality parts, and making your operation as efficient as possible.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you learned something new and that you'll put this knowledge to good use. Keep those molds happy and healthy.